I could worship the Lord all night. I don't know if I have anybody else that's a witness in this place. That the Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord comes in, there is liberty. That when the Spirit of the Lord comes in, there's liberty. Shackles are loosed. Mindsets are changed. Souls are delivered. People are set free and transformed. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus.
He's here right now.
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 Yes, Lord.
Yes, God. Give it to us in our souls right now. I want to start my message, but God is doing something for you right now. The Lord gave me a dream about 4 months ago. My wife and I were at a seminar, and the man teaching the seminar, he came over to us and he said, I want you to know that God is in control of your ministry. So when I feel the presence of the Lord, I can't just do what I want to do. I got a message, but he's doing something in your soul right now. And I'm going to give God time to do what he's doing for you right now before I speak a word in this place. Hey,
yeah.
My God.
He's here right now.
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 He's here right now. He's here right now.
Now, if I have anyone that respects the Lord's presence, if you know that he is here, before you take your seat, I want you to give God the loudest shout of praise you can give him. Hey! Come on, praise it. Come on, praise it. Come on, praise it.
He's here right now.
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 He's here right now. He's here right now. He's here right now.
Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Thank you. You know what? Just go ahead and take your seats. Y'all keep playing that in the back. Y'all, if y'all keep singing, we're not going to leave tonight. Just go and have a seat. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Just keep playing softly. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a mighty God. You're a strong tower. You're a strong deliverer. Hey. My Savior, my God, my strength. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Once again, on behalf of myself and my wife, I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. I just want to say that because I might forget. Thank you, Jesus. But since we're all here, we must all be gathered together right now, irrespective of the challenges that we might be facing in life. Amen, somebody. Irrespective of our own situations, we're all still yet in pursuit of what we call success. Is that right, somebody? All right, now it's getting quiet. Thank you, Jesus. Because we want to be successful, We study. We try to get jobs and we try to apprentice. And those are all things that we're supposed to do. Amen, somebody. Do your due diligence. So we study. We apprentice. We go to seminars. And all of that is good. Amen, somebody. But none of those things can guarantee you success. They can't guarantee it. Amen. What is the word guarantee? The word guarantee means it is a formal promise. It is something that it is set in stone, especially when they write it. Amen, somebody. All the things that we try to do, they're good. But they cannot guarantee you to get where you want to go. Amen, somebody. I may come and give you a seminar and tell you how to build a Fortune 500 company. And you may pay the money. And you might come to my seminar. And you might listen to my speakers. And what I tell you, how I succeeded in business, may not work for you. Why would that be? Because my surroundings might have been different. My environment may have been different. What I did may not work with you because we're different personalities. Amen, somebody. So all of those things, they are good, but they can't guarantee me anything. Thank you, Jesus. The only time you can have a guarantee is if you make a deal with somebody that has power and authority over situations, over circumstances. And when I say that, I'm reminded of a story in the Word of God where the disciples, they got into a boat and the Bible says that a storm arose and they looked out and they saw a man walking. Amen, somebody. They saw a man walking and at his word, the storm stopped and the sea stood still. And they said, who is this manner of man that the wind and the seas would obey him? Who is this man that the wind and the sea should obey him? That's the one I'm talking about today. If you're going to have a guarantee to succeed in anything, you must hook yourself up with the person that has the power over every situation, the power to calm every storm, or at least the power to be with you and get you through it. Thank you, Jesus. So I can't come and give you 10 steps to a business. But like the disciples said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I give, I'm coming to give it to you right now. And what I have is a track record of God's faithfulness. What I have is testimonies lined up, testimonies stacked up of God's faithfulness to his word. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, very quickly, turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 26. I'm not going to take a very long time, but I believe that God is going to speak in this place tonight. Amen. If you have the book of Genesis, chapter number 26, verses 1 through 5, can you read while we stand, God? Can you stand while we read God's word tonight? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 1, it reads, now there was a famine in the land of Canaan besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, but stay in the land of which I will tell you. Live as a resident in this land, and I will be with you. Now that's a good one right there. He says, I will be with you. Then he says, and I will bless you and I will favor you. For I will give all these lands to you and to your descendants. And I will establish and carry out the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Verse number 4. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heavens and will give to your descendants all of these lands, and by your descendants shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5, because Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and kept my charge, kept my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Thank you, Jesus. You can have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So just keep playing like that. So as we're reading this text, the scripture says, and there arose a famine as it did in the days of Abraham. Do we know what a famine is? If you know what a famine is, raise your hand. A famine, the definition of a famine, it is either a shortage of food or something that's not in supply. And it says there arose a famine in the days of Isaac as it did in the days of Abraham. Now, in the days of Abraham, famine was caused by lack of rain. And so when famine hits the land, what it causes is there's no food. If there's no food, you can't sell your food. You can't sell your crops. You can't make money. You cannot buy fuel. Has anyone ever seen a famine in this country? Have you ever seen a shortage in this country? It's not like it was in the days of Abraham. Famines can be caused by many different things. Famines in the land can be caused by bad government. Famines in the land can be caused by mismanagement. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Famines in the land can be caused by people just not caring. And when it happens, it affects every area of your life. We came to Ibadan last year during a fuel scarcity. I'm an American. I'd never seen a scarcity of fuel before. And my God, if you see the way people are at the queue, they will fight you if you put your keg before theirs. I said, my God, what is going on here? They're laughing because they know how it is. But a famine affects every area of your life. And now when a famine hits the land, what do we try to do? I want to go to America because they don't have famines. I want to go to London, UK because their economy is good. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. We say, I want to go to at least to Abuja. Because it's bigger than this Ibadan. Mommy, she said yes because she knows it's the truth. So this man, Isaac, finds himself in a famine. There's no rain. He cannot grow his crops. If he cannot grow his crops, how will he sell his crops? If he cannot sell his crops, how will he make money? If he does not make money, how can he feed his family? If he cannot feed his family, why would his wife stay with him? You see how the cycle affects people. So he did what any normal person would do. They wanted to leave. He says, let me get out of this place. So he says, I'm going to go to Egypt. Are y'all following me here? Are y'all following me? He says, ain't no rain, no money coming in. Everybody around me is poor, so I can't ask for help from nobody. So I'm going to go to Egypt. And so, why did he want to go to Egypt? Egypt at that time was the one nation that was very rarely affected by a famine. Why is that? Because Egypt had the Nile River running through it. So they had their own water supply. So when the rest of the world was suffering, they could just take water and water their crops and sell grain. So when the famine hit the world, everyone came to buy from Egypt. So any normal person would say, well, Canaan is dry this time of year, so I'm going to Egypt. But the Bible says something happened. He was on his way to Egypt, and verse 2 says that the Lord appeared to him and said, you know what? Don't go to Egypt. Stay right where you are. Now, does that make any sense? God, I'm trying to take myself to a place where I know my family will be secure. God, I'm trying to get myself to a place where I know I can survive. But God says, don't. He said, stay right where you are. Now, many of us will say, it's the devil. That was not God that told me to stay in this barren place. But I wonder if Isaac had gone to Egypt, what would have happened to him? He would have been one out of millions. Because he was nobody special in a place like that. In a place like Egypt, his gift and talent would not be able to shine because everybody's there. They can all do it. So what God was trying to do was set this man up for the rest of his life to leave a lineage and a legacy and an inheritance for his family. So he said, Isaac, stay right here. And if you stay right here in this place that everybody wants to leave, I will be with you. and I will bless you. Now, when you're a faith person, I don't know how you're going to bless me. Nobody around me can help me. But if your word tells me to stay, God, I'm going to stay right here all by myself. Now, the Bible says, if you go down to the book, verse number 12, the Bible says, Isaac stayed and he sowed in that land. Now, I'm going to bring it on home. A lot of people that I know in this place are saying, please, man of God, can you give me an invitation? I want to come to America. They say, man of God, I'm tired of this country. My sister, please, can you bring me to America? My wife and I, we went to Zaria to minister once. We ministered for 3 days. And a particular person came to meet me in the office. And they said, sir, please, can you take my son to America with you? I said, God, what? I don't even know you. My wife is sitting there. Please, can you take my son? I don't care if he sees me again. Just take him to America. I go. Carry him, go. I said, what kind of thing is this again? So I want to bring it home because God told this man to stay in a place that everybody else wanted to leave. It was hard. It was hard. I know how it is when you don't have a car in Nigeria because God told us we can't have one. So like everybody else in this place, we go outside, call the Okada. I will pack myself and my wife. We will go to ShopRite. I know how it is. My God. I know how it is. We are saying, God, nobody can help me. What am I supposed to do? But God says, don't go. Stay right here. So the Bible says Isaac obeyed the Lord. I can imagine people said, you crazy. You got a visa. You got a free entry. Go. But God said, stay. And the Bible says in verse number 12 that Isaac stayed and he sowed in that land. And the Bible says, and the Lord blessed him. And he grew and he waxed strong and became exceedingly great. Now, when I've heard this preached on before, they just said, and God did a miracle. They said, and God did a miracle. And the Lord said, I didn't do anything. He already had the plan to make it within him and he didn't know it. Because the Bible says that in the days of Abraham, when the famine came, Abraham went to Egypt. He saw how they took water from the river and watered their crops. They were the only place in the world doing it at the time. So he tells Isaac to stay in a barren place where there's no rainfall, but he said he's going to bless him. So what did he do? Well, when Abraham observed them taking water and irrigating their crops, he said, son, this is what they over there doing. He said, son, they taking tubes and they're pushing water through tubes and they're watering their crops and we're coming in and buying from them. So when Isaac had to stay in a dry and barren place, he said, well, my father told me, and I know there's water underground. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dig some wells. And if I keep digging enough, I'm going to find some water. And so when he found water, he was the only person in the region growing crops. Because nobody else had the knowledge. And so instead of him going to Egypt, people came to buy from him. Are y'all following what I'm saying? We all want to run away from the problems, not knowing that you are the answer to the problem. If Isaac had gone to Egypt, he'd have been working in a shoe store. Because they didn't need his idea. They had enough of their own. But God said, I'm going to put you in a place where there's nothing going on because you got the Holy Ghost. Come on, look at me because I'm talking to you. You got the Holy Ghost. I've spoken ideas to you. Now it's time to birth them ideas out. People need what you have. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you. They're waiting on you. Come on here. Thank you, Jesus. So now the Bible now says that the Lord blessed him and he waxed exceedingly great. But what we must understand, his greatness did not come overnight.
His greatness did not come overnight. It was through the process of time, through the process of labor. He had to dig wells. It was hot. It was deep. It was tough. There was rock. There was clay. He had to get it out and dig that well. Thank you, Jesus. This man had to labor where God told him to stay. But he saw that thing all the way through to the very end. I know how it is. I have a job. I have a career. I have a business. But God says, go to Nigeria where don't nobody know you and preach and they laugh at your accent. Where you go to the, say, please can we go to something? They say, where are you talking about? He said, go and sow in that land anyway. All right, God, they don't understand a thing I'm saying. They don't understand my accent. They don't understand the way that I dress. But you told me to go there, so God, you're going to bless me. That's all I got to say. Thank you, Jesus. It was over the process of time. It was over the process of time. How does this work? How does this work? How does this thing work when people are laughing at you for doing what God told you to do? How does this thing work when they say, you're so stupid? Do you know you could be an engineer, but you're over here preaching the gospel? Isaac had to stay and work and labor even when it was hot, even when he was tired. Even when the well did not want to bring up water, he had to stay there and work. Even when the Philistine came, after they dug the well, the Philistines came all the way back and filled the wells back up. He still had to work anyway. My God. So, this is what happens to us. We don't see it that as easy. Because we are now in the generation of Instagram success, YouTube discovery. If I get enough likes on Facebook, somebody will buy my product, even though my product is not any good. So when we may hear a word from God, and it don't look easy, we say, you know what? Let me follow my mentor. I want to go to engineer. I want to become a man. He ain't tell you to be no doctor. Holy Ghost told you to sing for his glory. He ain't tell you to do nothing else. But we don't see it as easy. So we give up and we quit because we don't know God to be faithful to his word. See, Isaac knew his father's testimony. He knew how when Isaac was 100 years old, God visited him. He remembered when he was on the altar and God provided a ram in the bush. He could look back and see God's track record. He said, all right, God, you told me to stay. I stay. It's hot. Ain't nobody helping me. I'm surrounded by people who don't like me because they can see that you're blessing me. I'm going to stay anyway. So what advice does the Lord have for us tonight? The Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says in verse number 2, looking to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him despised the shame. What does that mean? Because many times when we want to find inspiration, what we do is we say, my brother, what worked for you? Now, he didn't say, look to your brother. Look unto who? Y'all was weak. Say that again. He didn't say, look to my wife. He didn't say, look to the television. Looking unto who? One more time. Looking unto who? Looking unto who? Who's the author and the finisher of my faith? Now, why did he say looking unto Jesus? Because I don't think we really understand what Jesus had to pass all the way through. He came from heaven, never been touched by sin. He came from glory and had to come down here. And he said, now, son, if you go down and redeem my people, I'm going to give you a name that's above every other name. And at your name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, demons shall tremble. But before you get it, you must suffer and die for it. Before you become great, before people call you madame and sir, you got to suffer for something. They don't tell you that no more. So, what made the suffering of Christ so difficult? This thing, when God showed it to me, I think I was on a horse at the moment, and the Holy Ghost spoke. He said, what made the suffering of Christ so difficult was because Romans 5 says, it's hard to die for a righteous man, someone that's done everything right. And it's even harder to die for a good person. They may not have it perfect, but they're trying. But the Bible says, while we were all still sinners, enemies of God, he died anyway. And there was no guarantee that after he suffered, bled, and died, there was no guarantee we would even appreciate it. But he did it anyway. He died not knowing if you would ever say, Jesus, come into my heart. He died without ever knowing if you would say, I thank you for your sacrifice. He did it anyway. So the Bible says, now look up to Jesus, who he authored the faith that you have. And he's the same man that's going to finish it. And he said, now, because of what was set before him, he knew that his name would be exalted. So because he understood and he knew and counted God to be faithful, he despised the shame he was going to go through. The word despise, what does it mean? The word despise means to count it as insignificant. He said, this suffering means nothing to me. I can do this. Now, Jesus Christ had an awareness of what the crucifixion was all about. He understood that it was a shameful thing to be on a tree. They left you there for hours, and they would let you hang there, that the agony would continue. He understood what it meant to hang on a cross, and he said, "Don't mean nothing. I can go through this because God is faithful, and he will exalt me." So the Bible says, don't look unto your favorite talk show host. Don't look at Facebook, but look unto Jesus the Christ. Because everything I'm going through, he done that and then some. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all, I'm almost done. Don't go to sleep. Yes, God. He understood what it meant. And he understood that I must take the processional of shame. I must walk and carry this cross. I know they're going to beat me. They're going to whip me. They're going to spit on me. But that's okay. Because I got a word. Even if you don't like me, I still have a word from God. After it's all said and done, I'm going to go down in the grave. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise with all power in my hands. And there's nothing you can do about it. And so what happened when he told the disciples, y'all, look, I'm going to suffer, bleed, and die. Peter said, you can't go to the cross. He said, you can't go to the cross. You're the Lord Almighty. You can't suffer shame. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. I must go through this. But we're in the day of, we quote the scripture, Psalm 25 and verse 3, where we said, they that trust in the Lord should not be made to be ashamed. He's not saying you are excused from having to bear shame. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this is a prayer to understand that though I'm waiting on God and though I have not seen what God is doing, I don't need to be ashamed because God is faithful to his word. So what he's saying is, I don't see what God is going to do for me. I don't know what God is going to do for me, but I will not be ashamed because he is faithful. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible says, now consider this man. The Bible says, now to consider this man. Unless you be overcome in your situation and faint in your mind and say, you know what, I can't do this. I need to go do something else. The Lord spoke to me one day and he said, you know, the book of John 3:16 says, for God so loved the whole world with all of his crazy people and with all of our issues. He so loved the world anyway that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, what does that mean? The Holy Ghost said to me that because I love the whole world and I desire to save the whole world, and Jesus in the flesh cannot be all places at one time, he said, this is what I'm going to do for you. He says, I'm going to take a piece of my heart, I'm going to break it off, and I'm going to give it to you. And so what he said to me, he said, what I do is I put in you from the womb the passion for fashion designing. You just come out the womb and you don't know why you want to sing. You come out the womb not knowing why you want to draw. You come out the womb not knowing why you like to do calculus. It's because God has preordained you are to serve in this area. You are to serve him here and reach his people there. So he puts that in you. Then what he does is he comes along and he saves your soul. Then what he does is he puts Jesus on the inside. And so now Jesus Christ is with you when you go to the office. So when your office is sick, you can lay your Holy Ghost hands and they get healed and delivered. And so what he said to me is, as long as you have Jesus on the inside and you're moving in that location, no devil in hell can ever stop you. Y'all ain't got to clap. I know he's preaching in here. I know what the Holy Ghost is saying. I'm all right. He says, so I save you and I put Jesus on the inside, then I send you into all of the world. Now, he said to me, a lot of the time, it don't work like that for us. And I said, well, God, why is that? He says, because we have lived, who we are have been shaped by society, by our families, by cultures. Amen, somebody. Who we are has been shaped by our surroundings. And so just because Jesus came in, don't make us ready. He says, now I got to transform you. Now I have to transform your life. I got to take away everything that your mother did, your father did, your high school sweetheart did, what your culture did. I got to take it away. Because he says, now when Jesus Christ comes in and you're born again, it's not born again of this world. But you're born again from above. And when I'm born again from above, I come into the culture of heaven. I come into the culture of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So what that now means, I must have to become re-acclimatized to a brand new culture that I know nothing about. If y'all are leaving, please be quiet. God is still talking. He says, what slows us down is that when we are born again, we do not familiarize ourselves with the culture of heaven. So we are born again. We have a prophetic word. We have declarations, but we are not gravitating and moving under the culture of Jesus. So we're born again, but we stay the same, and that's not the deal. He says we get born again, but we don't ever change. Thank you, Jesus. So he said, we must begin to walk in the Spirit. And what happens when you begin to walk in the Spirit? Don't worry about that, y'all. God's still talking. He all right. What happens is when you walk in the Spirit and you live in the Spirit, all of the things that are in you that would hinder God's word being fulfilled, they show up and they come to the surface. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? When you begin to live in the culture of heaven, when I begin to try to understand the ways of God, the things about me that are not consistent, they will show up. And then God said, now deal with it. I remember now when I was working, the Lord delivered me from a very great issue of pride. And one day I was at work and I did not do something correct, and I knew I didn't do it right. And my boss came and said, Harrison, did you do this? And I got ready to justify why it wasn't done. And I got ready to defend myself. And the Holy Ghost said, shut up right now. You're going to take this whooping because I'm going to drive the spirit of pride out of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost said to me, you got to learn to walk in the spirit. Because once I can purify and put my ways in you, you forget about what you knew before. Forget about what country you're from and learn about the country of heaven and let that culture be in you. I will put you anywhere I want to go. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost said, and I'm going to round up. He said to me, he said, God can be seen in every culture around the world, but not everything about every culture can be seen in God. Do you understand that? God can be seen in every culture, but not everything about our culture can be found in God. So when God saves me and says, I'm going to make you great, that is pending. I get rid of what I know and come into all that he is. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus the Christ, who's the author and the finisher of my faith, who despised the shame and the abuse, but is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Students, if you are present in this place and you have to go back to your hostels, I understand. Amen. If you have to go, I understand. But very quickly, if you're in this place and you want to receive prayer for anything and you have to go, I want you to come now. If you are in this place and you have to leave because the hour is late and you want prayer for anything, I want you to come now. I don't want to keep you too late. But if you need prayer for something, I want you to come right now. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If you're at the altar, just lift your hands. If you're at the altar, just lift your hands right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before all of you students leave, what I'm going to tell you is this. A prayer alone does not necessarily have the power to bring you what you're looking for. After we get this prayer, I got to put the work in. I'm not going to not study and say, God bless my exam, because he's not going to do it. Can I be real with you? I'm not going to not study and say, God bless me, because he ain't doing it. You understand? He's not going to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Lift those hands right now. I want you to lift your hands and open your mouth and just tell God what you're believing him for right now. Yes, God. And while you're praying, I'm going to speak some words over your life. We've heard of the accidents happening at UI. We've heard of all the calamities that have happened. But what I'm going to say to you, if you find the place that God is calling you to get into, no weapon that's fashioned or formed against you or your family or will not be able to prosper. Come on here, open up your mouth. Come on, open up your mouth. If you're at the altar, open that mouth up and tell God what you're believing him for. Come on, open your mouth right now. You're already here. If I find that place that God wants me to be, and I serve him in it, and I'm faithful in it, no weapon that's fashioned or formed against me shall be able to prosper. If I forget about what's behind me and press on to know Jesus, I will be transformed into the image of his only begotten Son, and the devil cannot mess with the image of Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Jesus.